Please stand by. Good day and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow first half of 2018 Financial and Business Results Conference. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Elena from Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are pleased to welcome you to the 6 month 2018 Financial and Business Results Call of Credit Bank of Moscow. And in the course of our presentation today, our CEO, Vladimir Chuber, will give an update on the key financial and business highlights of the reporting period. And Eric Debosham, Senior Vice President of CBM, will dwell on financial performance of the bank for the six-month period of this year. Our presentation will be followed by a usual Q&A session, and you are very welcome to ask your questions to our speakers. Now I turn the floor over to our first speaker. So, Vladimir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Yelena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today. We have passed the middle of the year, and its first half was already full of different types of activities for us. The start of the year was quite positive from the international capital market perspective and allowed us to strengthen our position as the most active international debt borrower from the CIS. We also were awarded by credible international financial resources as the best bank in Russia and for best banking corporate governance in Russia. Later on in the year, certain degree of market volatility has materialized with the new geopolitical pressures, which still set the tone in the financial markets. In this unstable environment, and also guided by our willingness to support our debt investors, we initiated two liability management exercises, ensuring better liquidity for our bonds. Our financial performance for the first 6 months of 2018 is solid, and being part of the Russian banking sector, our performance is certainly subject to macro trends emanating in the economy. Banking sector growth is moderate and is held back by sluggish investments and production, which translates into poor demand for loans by corporates. We see similar downtrends in our loan portfolio, which is also reinforced by tougher competition for the high-quality names and limited risk appetite for the rest of the market. We project that similar trends will dominate in the nearest future, and lending growth this year will be close to zero in a real term. In this challenging operating environment, we try to focus on developing new attractive products, unique product propositions for our clients, and increasing the quality of our services, which is to drive client loyalty and cement our strong positions in the market against competition. Now let's discuss in more detail performance of the bank in the first half of 2018. Let's turn to slide number 2 of our webcast presentation. Net income increased by 10% year-on-year and reached 11 billion rubles following loan portfolio quality improvement and asset growth. High operating efficiency traditionally contributes to the net income growth with the cost-to-income ratio of 31%. Net interest income increased by 15% as compared with the first half-year results of 2017 based on expansion of interest-earning assets. Net fee and commission income decreased year-on-year by 16.7% to 5.7 billion rubles as a result of high competition and lower fees from documentary transactions and currency exchange. Net interest margin is down to 2.7%, constrained by falling interest rates in the economy and highly liquid balance of the bank, while net interest margin on average risk-weighted assets demonstrated slight improvement to 4.5% versus 4.3% a year ago. Return on average equity returned high teens level and reached solid 16.5%. Gross loans to customers decreased in the first 6 months of 2018 by almost 13% to a bit more than 700 billion rubles, actually 712.9 billion rubles, mainly due to large redemptions by corporate clients in the first quarter this year, while in the second quarter, loans regained 2.7% versus first quarter results. Loan portfolio risk metrics keep improving, with the NPL ratio down to 1.6% from 2.4% in the end of 2017, and cost of risk down to 1.1% from 2.5%, mostly as a result of sale and partial repayment of two large borrowers. NPL provisioning ratio increased from 250% in 2017 to more than 400% in the first half of 2018, in line with the positive NPL dynamics. Capital adequacy ratios remain strong, with a Tier 1 ratio of almost 15% and total capital adequacy ratio of 23.5%. Now let's turn to business highlights on slide number 3. Gross corporate loans reduced by 15% in the first half of 2018 to 623 billion rubles due to large repayments in the first quarter, mentioned before, while retail loans changed the traditional downward trend and increased slightly by 2% to 90 billion rubles. Corporate loans still make over 87% of total loans. Subsectors in the loan book remain crude oil production and trading, making 24% total loans, petroleum refining with a 16% share, residential construction standing at 9%, and automotive sector making 8%. No shift in the retail loan book product mix. Cash loans dominate with a 73.2% share, followed by mortgages, making 22.5%. Our strategic pillars in further business development remain unchanged. Cornerstone of potential growth is a corporate business supplemented by retail business platform, while IB segment drives both FI business development and ensures synergies with the corporate and retail business. Now I pass the floor to Eric for a traditional review of financial results in detail. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Vladimir, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So now I would like to draw your attention on slide number 4 with a detailed overview of the bank's income and expenses that shows positive dynamics in the first half of 2018. As you can see on the top left diagram, operating income increased by 3% year-on-year, generally reflecting a business expansion. This increase was attributable to the net interest income that demonstrated a sound growth of 3.1 billion rubles year-on-year due to the increase of the share of ruble-denominated assets in total assets, which on average generate higher interest. At the same time, net fee and commission income slightly decreased from 6.9 to 5.7 billion rubles between June 17 and June 18, mainly due to the drop in currency exchange commissions and commission from guarantee and letter of credit. In the first half of 2018, the bank reported other net loss in the amount of 400 million rubles, which resulted from currency revaluation on derivative financial instruments due to the volatility on the forex market. On the opposite, some income was generated from the bank trading some of its bonds on the market. On the bottom left diagram, we see that the net fee and commission income decreased by 17% year-on-year. Increased competition made the expansion of fee and commission income more challenging for the bank, but as we expected, cash handling commission recovered compared to the first quarter of 2018. Currency exchange commissions decreased year-on-year as 2017 figures were boosted by a significant one-off transaction. Commissions from guarantees and letter of credit decreased, mainly due to the switch to less risky types of guarantees, which are generally less profitable. namely guarantees on VAT reimbursement. As you can see on the upper right diagram, operating expenses increased by 9% year on year. The growth is mainly due to the remuneration expenses that increased to 6.1 billion rubles on the backdrop of payment of annual bonuses and general business development that implied attraction of highly qualified headcounts from the market. Administrative expenses remain at the level of 2017, while other expenses slightly decreased to 500 million rubles. The net interest margin trend is presented on the bottom right diagram. Net interest margin at the end of June 18 remains stable year on year at the level of 2.7%, as the bank is still maintaining a high proportion of highly liquid assets on its balance sheet. The ratio of net interest income divided by the average risk-weighted assets increased over the reporting period to 4.5%, reflecting a quality business expansion. Now I suggest turning to slide number 5 with a breakdown of total assets. In the reporting period, total assets were maintained roughly at the level of December 17, showing an increase of 2% to 1.9 trillion rubles. Liquid assets, representing 64% of total assets, increased by 13% year-to-date, which was driven by enlarged interbank balances up to 971 billion rubles, with a prevailing share of repo transactions, and by growth of securities portfolio up to 206 billion rubles. Debt securities pledged under reverse repo transactions formed 72% of unused liquidity source available from the CBR, coupled with unpledged on-balance sheet portfolio of Lombard lease securities, loans eligible for pledge to the CBR, and eligible for pledge OFED securities received from the Deposit Insurance Agency in 2015. All of these form a solid liquidity buffer, which exceeded 550 billion rubles at the end of July 18. Classic lending business demonstrated negative dynamics, with a net loan book showing a cumulative decrease of 13% in the reporting period. It was mainly driven by the effect of big repayments outstripping new loans origination in the course of the first semester. But it's also worth mentioning that during the second quarter of 2018, the net loan portfolio increased by 21 billion rubles to 667 billion rubles, and the net loan portfolio demonstrated positive dynamic for the first time since 2015, going up by 4 billion rubles compared to the first quarter of 2018. Now let's move to slide number 6 on the loan portfolio quality. The portfolio risk metrics have surged from stability to sustainable improvements. On the upper left diagram, the loan portfolio coverage by impairment allowance decreased to 6.5% on the backdrop of the loan portfolio increase to 730 billion rubles, and the loan loss provision decreased due to the disposal of NPL loans. On the upper right diagram, the amount of NPL decreased from 17 to 11 billion rubles during the second quarter. The loan loss provision decreased from 48 to 46 billion rubles. The significant decrease of NPL was mainly attributable to the disposal from one corporate customer that resulted in provisions decrease. NPL coverage ratio increased from 288% at the end of 2017 to 408% at the end of June 18, which was in line with the positive dynamics in NPLs. The bottom left diagram reflects decrease of NPL from 2.4% to 1.6% at the end of June. The cost of risk increased from 0.6% to 1.1% at the end of June 18, which resulted from the creation of additional loan loss provision on two corporate customers. The bottom right diagram depicts traditionally low level of related party lending, which was at the level of 3.3% of total gross loan portfolio at the end of the reporting period. Now, I suggest turning to slide number 7 with more details on corporate and retail portfolio risk metrics. Resulted from several big redemptions, corporate gross loan book decreased from 731 to 623 billion rubles in the reporting period, with a general improvement of loan portfolio quality, which was evidenced by NPL ratio decreased to 1% and cost of risk decreased to 0.8%, which is detailed on the bottom left diagram. On the right, the retail loan book NPL ratio remained at the level of 5.7%. The cost of risk demonstrated positive dynamics, decreasing notably to 1.9% during the second quarter of 18, compared with 3.9% at the end of last year. The next slide, number 8, illustrates the funding structure of the bank. Total liabilities were stable year to date at the level of 1.8 trillion rubles. Total customer deposits, accounting for 55% of total liabilities, were flat year to date, with enlarged share of retail deposits, which demonstrated stable growth on the backdrop of expanded in 2016 and 17 branch network. Retail deposits increased from 291 to 317 billion rubles during the first half of the year. Deposits by credit institutions were mainly represented by repo transactions, which accounted for 86% of overall interbank balances. The due-to-bank item also included term deposits, current accounts, and the syndicated loan we attracted in March. Wholesale debt repayment schedule is very comfortable for the bank, with the bulk of international repayments being due after the year 2020. Now, let's proceed to the final slide, number 9 on the bank's capital. The bank still maintaining a very comfortable capital position by the end of June 18. A very cautious approach to new loan origination, coupled with significant redemption and a large bulk of low-risk repo deals on the balance sheet, enables to retain a strong capital position. IBM is the sixth largest bank in Russia by the amount of capital at 1st of July 18. The regulatory minimums, including buffers applicable for systemically important banks, were by far overtopped, with N11 amounting 8.6%, N12 12.1%, and N10 20.6%. These were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for the first 6 months of 2018. Thank you very much for your attention, and now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, it's star 1 to ask a question. And I do have a question that comes from Maria Kancheva from HSBC.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation. I've joined halfway through, so if you've actually answered that, please excuse me. But I've seen you have a decrease in your loan portfolio, and you're saying it's due to some redemptions. Is this a trend we're going to be seeing for this year? And what is the plan for, basically, what is the strategy for growth for this year? There's been an article this morning, actually, in the local press saying a lot of banks have been exposed to retail lending and growing unsecured loans. I think you've stressed enough that that's not your strategy, but just want to confirm. Thank you.
Hi, Maria. Nice to hear you. Thanks for the question. Actually, we discussed this when we announced first quarter results. There was a repayment of a couple of the big loans, and actually, we're not expecting that it's a trend, so it was really one-off. So we're not expecting the same decrease, let's say, in the third and fourth quarter. And as you can see in our IPRES, many years there is a trend which is in the middle. We can go down a bit, and after this, in the third and fourth quarter, we are expecting the growth of the loan book. If I'm saying about the corporate business, You're absolutely right about retail. So we had some issues with retail, with rate lending 4 years ago. Four, five, six years ago. So, of course, now we have been done with this. And as we now did 2% growth in the second quarter, of course, it's a good result. But we're not expecting that we will come back to the same crazy nice figures like 50 or 70% growth in the retail lending as we had, let's say, 5 years ago.
Okay, thank you. If I may just ask one more follow-up question. Obviously, everybody's very nervous in the market with about tomorrow and possible sanctions on the sector. I do understand the talk is about the state-owned banks, but just any sort of perspective or thoughts you guys may have on possible sanctions and what that could mean for the sector would be much appreciated.
Thank you for this question. You know, we didn't hear any noise, any information, public and public rumors, anything about CBM. There was only one mistake in Russian press a couple of days ago when one group of people, they missed the name Bank of Moscow and Trade Bank of Moscow, which is okay, sometimes happen, but it was the only signal we've heard, but it's more like just a big mistake. Make sure they changed in their information. So we didn't hear anything. Of course, now, as I said very often to our investors, that it's more and more casino, so many issuers, many companies, many banks in Russia can just think that they can be next target. But in our case, I think that if you're talking about tomorrow, I didn't hear anything. Within the next, I don't know, 1 year or two or three, I don't know what will be the geopolitical situation in general. That's why it's not so easy to comment this. Maybe all Russia will be under the huge sanctions and nobody knows.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Stasima.
Our next question comes from Alan Webborn from Societe Generale.
Hi, thanks for the time. Is there sort of, I mean, clearly in the second quarter, your net interest income came down, you know, reasonably materially, and the margin, as I calculated, has also come down quite a bit. I mean, is the Q2 level where you think your margin and your baseline is likely to be, or you think there are some exceptional elements that have pushed down the numbers in the second quarter? That was my first question. I guess the second question was...
can we start with the first one? First of all, nice to hear. But it's better one by one, because otherwise I will forget about the first question.
Okay, so no worries.
I will try to answer if my colleagues want to ask something, because we are in a different location, so... maybe my colleagues will add something. So, first of all, net interest margin and net income. The margin, of course, you're absolutely correct that the usual way of margin was a bit lower than the usual figures. Now it's 2.7, 2.8. But at the same time, net interest margin on risk-weighted assets was increased from 4.3 to 4.5%, which is the reflection of the increased volume of the repos, so our IB team is working hard, and that's why, of course, you saw a slight decrease of the net interest margin in the usual way of counting, and at the same time, just want to repeat once again, the increase from 4.3 to 4.5% of net interest margin on risk-weighted assets. In terms of the trend and something like this, you know, of course, there is some pressure on the margin in the Russian banking sector. Of course, the last, let's say, month was not easy for the curve of Russian instruments. First of all, I'm saying about the government debt, because the pressure from potential sanctions, as we all heard. That's why, of course, it can be some correction in the rate. And as you saw, of course, the Russian central bank didn't change the key rate for two or three times. And first, this is the signal that potentially the rates can be more stable. We We are not expecting a decrease of the rate. But at the same time, still, I want to repeat once again what I said in the beginning of my speech today. There is a pressure from the competition. And of course, the best borrowers, they are like in a fountain of the offers from the banks. And of course, not an auction, but an informal auction of the offers. That's why, of course, it can be some pressure on net interest margin, but we're not expecting that it will be lower, so we are expecting more flat, if you're asking about margin.
Okay. Could you, I noticed that the sort of the growth in risk-weighted assets in the second quarter was somewhat higher than sort of lending growth. Could you just explain the dynamics there?
Dynamics where? In loan growth or where?
In risk-weighted assets.
I know we are expecting it. It should be quite stable, and it, of course it should be much more in line with the loan growth, because if I'm saying about the part of the balance sheet which is in investment business, the repos and interbank, of course in this situation there is much more. The huge part of the deals, they have no pressure on capital. That's why, of course, there's no growth of the risk-weighted assets. But in terms of the loan growth, until the end of this year, and repeat what I said answering the first question, we're not expecting some growth, but we, at the same time, the first quarter was one-off, so now we are expecting we will be more flat. At the same time, I want to say that we are working now on a couple of the loans which were included in the list of the impaired loans, and potentially, of course, if we will be lucky, say more lucky in this situation, of course, it can be decreased of the loans, but at the same time, will be much more material effect on the other metrics, I mean, like NPLs and cost of risk, so it will be much more positive. But in terms of other loans, other usual loans, stable. So they're not stable.
Okay. What else did I want to ask? Could you just explain the dynamics on the trading book or the trading line in Q2? I mean, obviously you had that big FX derivatives loss in the first quarter. And now you've got quite a big profit on that line. And are the two sort of messing each other off, or is the profit coming from somewhere else?
No, it's just what we explained. And after the first quarter, when there was a really big, not the losses, but negative result, let's say like this, it's just what we expected, what we, let's say, almost promised, that it will come back to the normal figures. So it's just like this.
Okay.
First,
all right.
First, the August, and because of the rates, because of the key, not key rate, because of the rates and the curve in the government instruments, of course, because of this, it can be potentially some more negative results in the trading books of all the banks, because many banks have the offer there on the balance sheet. And of course, it can be an issue, but also, let's say, one off, and it's much more. It's much more the mirror of all the geopolitical situation which is happening now.
And in fact, Alan, okay. So on this line, so we have, let's say, a double effect. First, it's, let's say, a negative effect from the revaluation of the assets and liabilities which are in our currency. And also, let's say, for the second quarter, a significant positive financial result on some derivative transactions, derivative instruments. So that's why, I mean, thanks to, let's say, the derivative, let's say, instruments, we have, we covered, let's say, the potential loss of the first quarter. So this is the recovery you can see at the end of June, in fact.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Nick Dimitrov from Morgan Stanley.
Hey, guys. I have a couple of quick questions. The first one is going to be on your Core Equity Tier 1 under Russian accounting standards. It's been trending down for about 4 months. And if you can give us some idea what that capital ratio is going to be including or incorporating some of the profits from the most recent quarter. And also if you can give us some kind of color regarding the sensitivity of Core Equity Tier 1 with regard to FX volatility. For example, a 10% ruble devaluation will put pressure on capital by whatever number of basis points.
Fanik, thanks for the question. If you don't mind, I will pass this question to Yelena Shved online. I hope she will answer.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, of course, we do such a stress test for sensitivity, as for now, each 10% in FX devaluation for ruble gives us 0.15% additional for N11 ratio decrease. But as of today, we don't have any significant share of our assets with big pressure on capital because, as you know, our repo deals have zero weight on capital. For that reason, only loans give us weight. For that reason, there is no any significant impact.
Thank you. And my next question is going to be, so your NPLs declined because there was a sale of an NPL by a large borrower. Can you give us some color in terms of what sector that borrower is in? What industry?
Colleagues, can you comment on this, please?
There was several borrowers. They were not from one sector. There were several, a lot of loans. We looked through our NPLs in corporate. They were all provisioned by 100%. So for that reason, we sold some of them. And also it was one borrower from big borrower from NPLs. It was from the trading sector.
Okay. And my last question is going to be, I was looking at your operating expenses on a quarter-over-quarter basis, and they did increase quite sharply. And the big driver there was expenses on labor, salaries. What's driving that, and is it a one-off thing?
It was one-off. It was bonuses for 2017 year. It was they were paid in April, so it was one-off.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And just a reminder, it's star one if you'd like to ask a question today. We have a question from Jana Anakina from BCP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for presentation and taking calls. Questions regarding your CET1 capital level. We see that it grew to 8.6% under Russian accounting standards, with the minimum being 8% for a systemically important bank like yourself. Could you please remind us what is the trigger for your perpetual bonds write-offs?
Hello, thank you for the question. First of all,
at what
this year, this year the minimum level is 7%, and from the next year will be 8% from 1st of January. Minimum level for the perpetual instruments in Russia is 5.18, so 5.125.
So it's for all perpetual instruments, not specifically to your bank, right?
Yes. In regards to the
minimum of a CET1 is 4.5.
Yes, correct. 4.5.
Right.
So it's slightly above the minimum level. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. And just to clarify, CET1 at this point is 8.6. There's like very tiny numbers here, or 8. I can't see it.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Your CET level as of June 30th of this year, is it 8 or 8.6? The numbers are very small in the presentation. I can't see it.
8.6. Liana, for Eric.
8.6. Thank you so much.
8.6%, yes. 8.6.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's all the time we have for questions today. Speakers, I'll turn the conference back over to you.
Hello?
That's all the time we have for questions. Please go ahead with your closing remarks.
So thank you very much for taking your time to attend this call today. Our IR team can follow up in case of any further questions. So we all wish you a very pleasant rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that does conclude our conference today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.